from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. It's Keith McPherson on the Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
When you need it. Yeah, right on time. 888-808-1019. We're going to laugh tonight and have a grand old time. Now, some of y'all might get with this. Some of y'all won't. But that's not my problem. 300 for Aaron Judge. I was on last night, 12 to 2. I was on the night before, 12 to 2. I was on the night before, 12 to 2 a.m. And you know, the Yankees shouldn't have struggled so much against the Chicago White Sox, but they're off today. And Juan Soto hitting his 4 home runs and Aaron Judge pulling that home run to hit 300 erases all of the nonsense coming out of that series. Monday was embarrassing. Monday night arguably was the worst loss of the year. And the Yankees have stacked up a few worse losses of the year in a year where they're a first-place team, in a year where they were the first team to 50 wins, in a year where they literally have the fastest two guys to get to 30 homers and 100 walks or 100 ribbies. Like, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto as a tandem have been phenomenal. That's 1-2 in the AL MVP race, but man, did we feel sick to our stomachs watching the Yankees struggle against the worst team in baseball. And historically, this team potentially could be the worst team in baseball. 888-808-1019. But, you know, the Yankees are off tonight and the Mets were off on Monday night. And me, I'm an internet guy. I'm a Twitter guy, Instagram, a little bit on TikTok. Before I was blessed to figure out how to get on this great radio station at WFAN, I worked in New York City at MTV, Fubo TV, Rock Nation, and did a bunch of little freelance jobs as a social media manager. So I used to be the guy behind the scenes anonymously posting things for clicks. I used to be the guy thinking up, how do we go viral? And I remember sitting in meetings when the higher-ups, the older heads would say, how do we go viral? And I would say, you don't. You don't think about it like that. You put out content for your audience. You put out things that you think are going to stick, are going to work, and then it just happens. You don't manufacture it. Put a pen in that. Just hold that thought. So back to Monday, when my New York Yankees were struggling against the Chicago White Sox, and I mean, with Luis Gil, his first inning, he comes off the mound after giving it up. He's throwing his had, and he's upset, and the Yankees strand a bunch of runners. They go 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. You add insult to injury. Jazz Chisholm gets hurt. We are just like, man, how can this team be World Series contenders, but then do that? And as I'm on Twitter, hashtag Yankees Twitter, the biggest fan base that exists on Twitter, which Elon Musk decided to call X, I see my fellow Yankee fans questioning everything from Brian Cashman's moves at the deadline and what this team will be the rest of the year and if they'll win the division, what they'll do in the postseason, and of course the 15-year drought in the World Series. But then, then I see some of our counterparts, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends that root for the Mets chiming in. Oh, this is going to be an embarrassing loss for the New York Yankees. oh, no way are the Yankees going to lose to the White Sox. When you talk about worst losses of the year, for me watching, it was that Baltimore loss going into the All-Star break, because that was just a Clay Holmes, Anthony Volpe, and Alex Verdugo. Like, that was just an absolute collapse. Can't have it. But the worst loss that I saw with my own two eyes was the last game of the Subway Series. I was physically there to watch the Mets just smack the Yankees around. Mets fans talking trash to Yankee fans. Where you going? Why so quiet? We run this town. We run this city. Your little brother. Well, a lot of Yankee fans said, that was your World Series, Mets fans. And myself as a Yankee fan, I said, I can't take this too seriously, because the Yankees roll out Jamai Jones and J.D. Davis. But I'm like, hey, you tip your cap. They got swept. They got absolutely demolished. Sure, the Mets are the kings of New York for now. 888-808-1019. And what I knew is that there's plenty more baseball to be played, and that the bar for the Mets is a lot different than the bar for the Yankees. And baseball is unpredictable. No one knows what's going to happen. I don't know how many nights I say the same thing on air. We got to take it day by day, game by game, series by series, week to week, month to month. We have hosts that want to proclaim what's going to happen in October. We have people that want to say that the Yankees are dead. We have hosts that want to say Juan Soto is playing himself into being a Met. We have callers that call in and laugh and egg on. I know me. I was on the last two nights of the Bronx side of the Subway Series. I had to wear it. I had to take it, but I knew. Give it some time. Give it some time. The Yankees are fighting for first place. The Yankees are fighting to be the number one seed in the American League. The Mets are now fighting for their postseason lives. 888-808-1019. As the calls are starting to come in, I think you are picking up what I'm putting down, where I'm heading with this. So the last couple nights I was on, the first night, I said, oh, wow, Austin Adams. Austin Adams is the first player I've seen turn one of the Mets' gimmicks against them, use it against them, and mock them with the, oh, my God. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, the Oakland A's, soon to be Sacramento A's for, this show tonight, I'll probably refer to them as the Sacramento A's, because, I mean, those guys are looking at apartments in Sacramento. They're moving their families to Sacramento. They're about to be leaving in a few weeks, packing their bags, and not looking at Oakland ever again. But they've been pretty good. I think there's something like 23-14 since July 1st. So that tells you that they're playing good baseball. They have some guys that can pitch. They got some guys that can hit. And you know what? They're playing spoiler against a Mets team and a Mets fan base who was on top of the world with Grimace, the Grimettes, the Grimace era, June 12th. Grimace throws out a first pitch. And we're giving all the credit to a Ronald McDonald character. They've run out of Happy Meals. Glizzy Izzy, the rally pimp. Like, all of these gimmicks. Let's go back to Timmy Trumpet. Sound the trumpets. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. What does any of that have to do with baseball? 888-808-1019. So in the baseball game, game one of the series, Austin Adams, he's calling people POS. He's flying off the handle. He's pissed off, because he was with the Mets in the winter into spring training, and they let him go. They cut him. They sent him packing. So he had it on his mind, oh boy, when I get my opportunity, I'm going to let him know about it. And when I got on that night, I said, listen, it's the first game of this homestand, which is a vital homestand coming off of that road trip. A road trip that the owner of the Mets, Steve Cohen, went on Twitter and called grueling. He said it was a grueling road trip. But our very own Positive Tommy said it was a good road trip. We needed Evan today. Evan came back and Evan told Tommy, no, you can't say that's a good road trip. You can't. There's no way to spin that. There's no power of positivity. There's reality. Watch the games. Look at the box score. Look at what has happened over the last couple weeks. Since we proclaimed that the NL wildcard was over. Man, these microphones are powerful. You gotta chill. You gotta chill. This stuff reaches far beyond 345 Hudson Street. This stuff grows legs on the internet. And there was this thing on the internet that popped up months ago. And when I saw the video, I ignored it. Myself, I don't know. I'm a married man. I try to carry myself with class. I try to keep things, I don't know, PG-13. There's areas that I don't even think about going on the radio. There's subject matter that I don't even think about talking about because kids listen to my show. A lot of them. And a lot of them reach out to me, and I know that. I'm a father. My son is 16 months, though. I don't have to explain anything to him yet, but one day I will. And I mean, I had the thought today, maybe I just stop at one. Because I can handle a little boy. I don't know, if I have a daughter and my daughter grows up to be Haley Welch, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. 888-808-1019. So with the series on the line, with camp day today in Flushing, a bunch of kids coming out to the ballpark to chant, "Let's go Mets, let's go Mets." I'm listening to Howie Rose on CBS 880 call the game. And I'm scrolling through Twitter as I look at the box score, and I say, wait, what? I thought her 15 minutes of fame was up. This can't be for real. Hawk Tua? Hawk Tua, girl? Wait, is she on the mound in Citi Field throwing out a first pitch before the author of My Mets Bible, our very own Evan Roberts? Man, we needed Evan today in here. Evan, get well soon. We need you at Fanatics Fest tomorrow. If you guys are going to Fanatics Fest, make sure you dress up like Tiki Barber or Boomer Esiason or any of your favorite WFAN hosts. Boy, we needed Evan today. I was offended. For my fellow Met fans or my fellow WFAN hosts that are Mets fans that have been living and dying with this team for decades, wait, they don't get an opportunity to come out on the field and throw the first pitch? And Hawk Tua girl does? What is she famous for? What did she do? I literally haven't spoken about her on my program at all. I've heard our morning show, midday, afternoon do it. I've heard other stations do it. It's everywhere. It was viral 2-3 months ago. Here we are in August. I haven't spoken on her because I didn't want to give her my light. I didn't want to give her my show, my platform. She doesn't deserve it. And I don't want to knock that little girl because she didn't know what she was doing, right? Bro that made the video, he's not getting anywhere near the money that she's getting or opportunities that she's getting. When he asked her a simple question and she replied with Hawk Tua, spit on that thing. But there were kids out there today. There were kids out there today that they don't have a clue. Yes, they do. These kids are smarter than you think. These kids are all over TikTok, Instagram, Reels, YouTube Shorts. They know exactly who she is. They might not know exactly what she's talking about, but one day they will be old enough to understand. So I understand if you are offended. I understand if you're mad. I understand if you have a problem with it. I will not get on this microphone and tell some parents how to feel about something like that that didn't need to go on. Only the Mets can out-Mets the Mets. With the series on the line, you decide to bring someone in that has no ties to New York City, no ties to Major League Baseball, and no ties to the New York Mets to throw out a first pitch. For what? A million views on X? 888-808-1019. You got to be careful with that stuff. The baseball gods, they don't take too kindly to that stuff. You're fighting for your postseason lives. The series is on the line. You already got mocked in this series, and now everybody is mocking you. And so I am pretty good at this internet stuff, right? Like I said, I used to do that as a profession. I leaned right into it. I saw they had a press conference with this girl. I'm like, they put a Mets jersey on this girl. And you know what? They did it in front of Frank the Tank, a diehard Mets fan who the Mets will not bring out there to throw first pitch. But the Rockies did in a series where the Mets are playing against the Rockies. I mean, he's been out to Milwaukee, put on the Brewers jersey, Arizona Diamondbacks. More teams are going to send for Frank the Tank before the Mets do. If you're leaning into all the gimmicks, the dance team, if you're leaning all the other gimmicks, right? Why not have Frank out there? Why not have Evan Roberts out there? Why not have Sal Licata out there? Why not have any of the WFAN hosts that ride for your team? It's crazy. So what happens in the game as we continue to talk sports on the 24/7 sports talk radio station, which I never thought I'd have a reason to talk about Haley Welch, Hawk Tua girl. But you know what? You put that energy out. Be careful. Because you go into that game, and I'm writing my notes, and I'm like, another Mendy masterclass. Mark Vientos batting second. Oh, my God. Mark Vientos going deep, going yard. And I was ready to call these Mets the Hawk Tua Mets. LGHTM. Let's go Hawk Tua Mets. They go up 5-0. I'm like, yeah. The grimace stuff wore off. Now you need another first pitch, and this girl's a viral sensation for the wrong reasons, but whatever. We're doomed because we prop up people like that, right? Same people that tried to cancel me or prop up a girl like that. Yeah, whatever. Do your thing on the internet. That's fake life. That's not real. But when you bring her into your arena with a game like that, man, Jose Quintana, trash. 11 walks, trash. Not being able to come through, not being able to find a way, blowing a 5-0 lead, trash. And you can blame Haley Welch, who probably doesn't know one player on the Mets, probably doesn't watch baseball, but now she's the story. You can blame the bullpen. You can blame Reed Garrett coming back, Jose Quintana. You can blame whoever you want. Pete Alonso popping up. You can blame whoever you want. But it's just the same. Oh, Mets. It's the same old Mets. It's very Metsy. I'm sorry. You need a bad guy like me. You need somebody to come in here and tell you what it is. Because these Mets fans won't. Tommy Lugauer will get on this airwaves and tell you, stay positive. I will lead us. I was waiting. I was waiting. Tommy came in here one day, said that the Yankees are little brother. I'm like, off of the bro, they put out Jamai Jones and J.D. Davis as the leadoff hitter, cleanup hitter. The Yankees don't care about the Subway Series like y'all do. And now look where we're at, Mets fans. I was trying to play nice. I was trying to keep the faith. I tell you, all is not lost. But man, this young girl, her 15 minutes of fame was up. This was late. This was wrong. This was unnecessary. No, it wasn't fun. We're having fun. We're making fun. We're having fun at your expense now. Because you bring her out there today to throw the first pitch, and look what type of game transpires. They didn't give out any Haley Welch merch, right? They didn't give out any, like, Mets bucket hat. Or maybe they would have to give out, like, a water bottle so you could hawk to a spit on that thing. What a joke. The jokes write themselves. We're going to do this all night. 888-808-1019. But we're definitely going to talk about the Yankees. And the Yankees better get ready because the Seattle Mariners swept the Mets. And then the Seattle Mariners just got swept by the Detroit Tigers. Oh, and guess who the Yankees are going to go face as they fight for position, as they fight to stay in first place, blah, 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 best record in baseball. Can't sleep on anybody. Can't predict baseball. Got to put your best foot forward. They're going to face Tarek Skubal on Sunday in the Williamsport Classic. I'll be on air Sunday, live from Fanatics Fest, 12 to 3. See you there. Again, wear your costumes. It's going to be a grand old time, a grand old event. And now, you know, football's coming. Football is coming fast. Where a lot of fans are going to say, ah, well, it's over for the Mets. It's not over. But when you look at this Mets schedule, let's do that for a second before I break here. When you look at this Mets schedule, you better sweep the Marlins. And you know the Marlins play up, especially coming to Queens. The Marlins are playing spoiler. They have nothing to lose. They're going to play up. The Mets will face the Baltimore Orioles, and I'll be rooting for you every out of those three games. But that is a team that's fighting for first place, fighting for the wild card. That's most likely going to be a postseason team. Then you have to go to San Diego and face the Padres. They are not losing. They've been super hot since you proclaimed that the NL wild card was over, right? The Braves come to town. Ramon Laureano can't catch a pop-up. Jeff McNeil. And oh, after the Padres series, you got to go to Arizona and face the Snakes. Oh, yeah, the team that won the NL last year that got hot at the right time. Yeah, the Diamondbacks, they're not losing much either. So it's all right in front of you. But the softer part of the schedule that you thought you might have just had, gotcha. So all of the Juan Soto's going to look good in a Mets jersey. What have I been telling you guys? You got to wait. We got to see how this season plays out. You think it's just money, but a lot of it is going to have to do with the end of this season and where both teams are. And then they will assess Scott Boras, Juan Soto, Hal Steinbrenner, Steve Cohen. And Steve Cohen could give him an extra $10 million a year, an extra $50 million, whatever. But there's not a check that Steve Cohen can write to undo what the Mets are, what the Mets consistently do. They consistently do stuff like that. We have seen it time after time after time after time after time. It is some type of higher power, cosmic energy. And they got you again. The jokes just write themselves. 888-808-1019. So we'll definitely talk Mets. We'll talk Yanks. We got to talk Hawk Tua now. Call me up with your reaction to it. Call me up with your thoughts about it. No one is wrong. This is the opinions business. I'm giving you my opinion. Give me your opinion. Because I think that if they would have lost today in that way, it would have been a bad loss. Like I said, going up 5-0, 11 walks, guys not coming through in the clutch late in the game, Reed Garrett coming back, blowing it, whatever. But to put the Hawk Tua girl on the mound in Citi Field on your sacred yard? You just knew where it was going to go. These are the Hawk Tua Mets now. 888-808-1019. Yankee fans, we will live in the 300 homers. We will talk about Aaron Judge's greatness. We will compare him to Mickey Mantle and Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. and everybody else. But for what my money's worth, like, I was a little kid going to sleep when the San Francisco Giants were playing. I didn't get to see every at-bat of Barry Bonds or Ken Griffey Jr. I'm blessed that as I started going to the stadium, I was there for Aaron Judge's first home run, which we just celebrated 7 years since that's happened. I think I've probably seen anywhere from 80 to 100 live Aaron Judge homers. How many homers has he hit in Yankee Stadium? I've been to 40 games a year for the past few years. And there's plenty more coming. It would be a shame for that man to have a bunch of highlights on the big screen 15 years from now when we're honoring him or celebrating his jersey retirement. And then there's no highlights from the World Series. Got to get him to the World Series. We'll talk all about that. We'll obviously talk football. I have Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic joining me to talk about the Jets practice. They're down there fighting in Carolina with the Panthers. Good. Good. They should be pissed off. And Dellin Betances, my guy. I saw Dellin Betances Monday at MLB Network. He sat in with the clubhouse guys for the clubhouse show that they do. We had Chris Young, CC Sabathia. And I saw him tweeting last night about Aaron Judge's greatness. I'm sure he'll have something to say about Austin Adams coming out of the bullpen and mocking the Mets. He's a New Yorker. He's a former Met. And, of course, a former Yankee and former All-Star. He'll join me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey. Right back at it on The Fan. Good job, Alex. That's a bop right there. Hawk Tua, spin on that thing. That's where we're at now, folks. Shout out to Daniel on Twitter. Daniel said, the Yankees, they bring Caitlin Clark out to throw out the first pitch over the weekend, buying into her hype and promoting the WNBA while she's on break, you know? The Mets bring out Haley Wells to throw out the first pitch with the series on the line. Like, with camp day. Like, the jokes write themselves. You can't make this stuff up. Mike is in Connecticut first up on The Fan. Mikey, come on, Mikey. You got it, bro.
Keith, how you doing?
There it is. I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. just chiming in on the Hawk Tua today. You know, people forget that it's our specialty, the Mets. Like, we embarrass ourselves nonstop my whole life. I'm 39 years old. So it doesn't really faze me, the Hawk Tua girl coming out.
Gotta get a laugh out of it, especially with what transpired after she graced us with that half a pitch.
And if I was at the game, I would have been thrilled. That would have been one more reason to go get a beer or hit the restroom. You know, if Keith Hernandez was throwing out the first pitch, I'd have to make sure I sat there, whatever. But irrelevant people, you know?
Yeah, we'll make anybody famous nowadays. And it seems like this season, more than ever, the Mets are letting anybody throw out a first pitch. Anybody.
It's embarrassing.
You know, thanks for the call, Mike. And it's only embarrassing because what transpired after, right? The baseball of it, the sport of it, which is what we're really going to be talking about after we get over the fact that, like, this girl had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. It's just typical Mets to have her out there. And then what transpired after, it's like you could write the script. You go up 5-0. That's the rubber match to take a vital series, the first series of this homestand. And now everybody's blaming Hawk Tua girl. Tom is in Monmouth Beach. I used to be around there. What's up, Tom?
What's going on, my friend? How are you today?
I'm good. You know, I just randomly get these opportunities to host five-hour shows where I have a whole other plan, but then something gets thrown at me like this, and I'm like, how could I not lean into this?
Oh, dude, that was like put on a service plate for you.
Too easy. It's a layup.
Without a doubt. First and foremost, by the way, I just wanted to say, hey, I talked to you a couple times before, but I haven't been back online with you or on the phone for a while. Just wanted to give you some props, man. Dude, your Bleacher Creature roll call,
yeah,
it actually choked me up as much as it did you. I just wanted to let you know that was one of the most amazing things. I just appreciated that.
Shout out to the creatures, man. Shout out to 203. I had no idea that was going to happen. I'm actually working on trying to get the audio from that so we could play it on WFAN, because I know a bunch of people missed it.
I literally got choked up just as much as you did. It was amazing. But now, getting back to where I wanted to go. So the whole Loogie thing and the we are the little brothers now, blah, blah, blah. How do you consider yourselves a little brother when you came into the league back in, I think it was like in 62, I believe, the Mets came in. So the first thing they do is they put an interlocking NY on their hat. Somebody else had that. Then you put pinstripes on your home uniform. Somebody else had that. Then you try to do Enter Sandman when your closer comes in. I mean, how can you not be a little brother when you do those
things? You know, it's going to be forever looking up. It's going to be forever little brother trying to be big brother, and they always jump the gun. They always get ahead of themselves. They sweep us this year in the regular season. It doesn't affect things. We still have the best record in baseball, still in first place, still have everything right in front of us. But, I mean, the proclamations I've heard about, this is a Mets town again, their little brother, Steve Kline, like, yo, I let it go. I didn't speak on it. I was waiting in the wings for an opportunity just like this.
You did not have to. That was the whole point. You literally just sit back and let them hang themselves. You know what I mean?
And there's so much left of this season, Tom. Maybe they do get hot. Maybe they get hot on the next West Coast road trip. I don't see it. I've tried to hold back and say, no, they're good. But like, if you just do the math and the numbers and what it's going to take for them to get that last wild card spot, who's going to pitch? Severino? Quintana? Who's going to pitch? Mania's going to be magical the rest of the way? David Peterson? The bullpen, which is different now, is still letting you down. And the lineup that propelled the Mets from the depths that they started with, that has evaporated. This is not a good year for Pete Alonso. The week of the All-Star game, Brandon Nimmo went crazy. The All-Star game happened. He must have watched the All-Star game, felt like he should have been there. He's disappeared.
100%.
They're telling you that Francisco Lindor is an MVP candidate. Come on. Let's just be for real. Like, let's actually lock in. Let's lock in here.
And you know what? Being a Yankee fan, I hate to be the guy that kind of...
You don't have to hate it. This is New York. We're allowed to give our thoughts, opinions, and be real about it. We don't have to live in this fantasy world of positivity. We don't have to live in this fantasy world of proclaiming things and saying things that are not true. Just look at the facts. Look at what's in front of you.
In your monologue, you brought up Loogie. My gosh. Come on.
We had Loogie Week last week, and I said, man, I tip my cap to Loogie because he does so much work, and he was thrown into having to host and produce and do all these things. He put a lot of hours in last week, but he leaned into this stuff, and I'm like, I'm listening like, bro, this is risky business.
Yeah. When you get your microphone, we're thinking of what you're saying.
Yeah, bro. Like, this could come back. This could come back immediately and haunt you, and you can't live it down. Thanks for the call, Tom. Like, you, like, if you're going to be positive Tommy Loogie, it just comes with, like, just come in and talk about this stuff. And I get it, because I don't have any shtick. I don't have any nicknames. I don't have anything that I say over and over again. I understand that, like, if you get your opportunity to rock, you got to have something that sticks. But, like, to come in and say stuff like Pete Alonso has more home runs than Aaron Judge since 2019, irrelevant. Judge just was the fastest guy to 300 in 955 games. They are not the same. To be talking about, we have the richest owner in the sport. Juan Soto is so good, he's pricing himself out of the Yankees. What? The New York Yankees? We're not talking about the Tampa Yankees. We're not talking about some Little League. Like, oh, I get it. He's pricing himself into Steve Cohen. Who has Steve Cohen successfully bought that the Yankees wanted? Stop making stuff up. We have to deal with the reality. Let's go to Hazlitt and talk to Ryan on the fan. Ryan, you got it.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you been?
I've been good, but I've been kind of just, you know, sitting back. All right, the Yankees got humbled in the Bronx. I saw with my own eyes. I've been sitting back just waiting. Like this, I just knew there was going to come a time. And the season's not done, but no, tonight when the Yankees are off, and we just saw that show that we got in Queens today, from Hawk Tua to Jose Quintana to Reed Garrett to Pete Alonso and everybody else in between, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to laugh, and we're going to enjoy it tonight.
Jose Quintana, you know, the 2020s version of Ted Lilly. Getting absolutely hammered like every other outing.
I mean, that grand slam was such an omen.
Oof. You know what? You're talking about that first pitch, right? And you know, nowadays, everybody's talking about it. It's about clicks. You know, it's no longer, you know, a lot of these people are going like, oh, hey, did you hear that? You know,
yeah, they won the day on the internet, Ryan. You're right. The Mets won the day on the internet. Everybody's talking about them.
It's all monetary, man. And if you don't see the business aspect of it, it's crazy. I do have a funny first pitch story. So in 2012, I got traded to the Newark Bears. It's opening day. The Nets had hit Chris Humphreys there. Jim Leyritz was the coach. Half of the people that were there were the mothers against drunk driving, and then Cory Booker threw out the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after he left Newark, and there was people who were pissed. He threw out the first pitch. I've never heard so many boos after Leyritz getting called and that. After the first inning, there was 150 fans there. We said the attendance was $9,000 because everybody just left.
Yeah.
But that was before social media,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I've been out there, years ago. I was young, going to Newark Bears. Yeah. I think my mom still has a Newark Bears towel from the towel giveaway day.
Oh, yeah, I still got the hat, man, because, you know, I kept all the hats that I played pro ball. And you know what? I got to tell you, the one thing that got it popular was that Southern accent, dude. You remember that at JMU with some of those girls that had those Southern accents? You don't get...
Yeah, JMU. At JMU, I was very, very familiar with those Southern Bells and the Hawk Tua. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I was a third-string quarterback down there in Virginia. I show up to the party. My line was, I'm the backup's backup. You play football? Yeah, what position? I'm the backup's backup. Oh. Zach is in Palm Beach, Florida on the fan in New York.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic. On the fan.
Very, very interesting talking to you tonight. Sort of, I didn't plan for this to happen, but I noticed your photo on my radio, on my phone. And I go, you know, I like the way this guy looks. I want to call up. I have some information that I think will be informative for your audience. Not necessarily an opinion about anything, but...
Not the best-looking guy. Like, I'm not the best-looking guy, but thanks, Zach. Thank you.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be good, and it's going to be. You're going to like it. So I was a professional baseball umpire from 1975 to 1982, up through AAA. I umpired the majors in the Dominican Republic, and I umpired for a lot of guys that probably before your time, but I think you can probably recognize them, like Wade Boggs and Don Mattingly, Dave Rigetti, Mookie Wilson, Wally Backman, Mike Scott, Brooks Benson, Butch Benson. You remember him?
No.
Okay. Good. Well, anyway, I'm 73 years old, and I have this theory about the pitch count that I don't think people are aware of, and that is this.
The pitch clock or the pitch count?
Pitch count.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. I know what you're talking about.
How many pitches the pitcher throws.
Yeah. The six-inning minimum that they're talking about right now. Go ahead. I'll let you talk, and then I'll add to it.
Okay. Well, everyone keeps track of the pitches. And, you know, if a guy gets to 80, 90, and probably thinking, well, you know, how much longer is it going to last? And all of a sudden he's good, and let's assume he goes, wow, this guy's thrown 100 pitches. Okay, wow, great. You know, we better take him out. Okay. The eighth inning, you take him out, and he did great. But here's the thing. He threw more than 100 pitches. He had warm-up pitches. And let me tell you, although some of the warm-up pitches are not thrown at full speed, probably the last, I'm going to be conservative, the last four or five are thrown with vigor. Therefore, after eight innings, he's thrown 140 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that makes some sense to you?
Yeah, what doesn't make sense to me is Major League Baseball and these guys that I don't think played much sports or baseball, many sports or much baseball, like they're trying to manipulate the game again. I read an article about this rule, and I'm all for bringing back the aces of the staff versus aces of the other staff, but we can't control this thing to say, like, there's going to be a six. Like, I get it with the bullpen, what they did, facing three minimum, but, like, if we're going to try and start saying, like, okay, these starting pitchers have to go a certain length. Like, it doesn't work like that anymore. The game has changed, and you can't manipulate it it's different for everybody. Like, I don't know. There's no way to say that Gerrit Cole has to throw X amount of pitches against, I don't even know if they name the starter tomorrow for the Tigers. But I just think it's Major League Baseball again trying to get too crafty and trying to, like, reverse course. And it's like, listen, the bullpen game, right? The opener, that was guys getting crafty that just didn't field enough starting pitchers in their rotation. They didn't pay enough guys that could do it. So they're like, all right, we're going to have bullpen games. Keider Montero, right? Keider Montero is not Gerrit Cole. No, Montero is facing Rodon. Anyway, go on.
I just want to add that, yes, I agree with all the things you said. But more specifically, if people thought that this guy was right at the 140 mark at the game, like it really is, they'd be going, wait a minute. If we're going to be paying attention to this arm pitching and his motion, that's really throwing a lot of pitches, say more than 100. Maybe we should rethink about how we're operating.
Yeah, they are rethinking about it. Thanks, Zach. What I'll say is this. You know, when I saw this come out today, and like even today, how many pitches did Quintana throw in that first inning, right? How many pitches did Luis Gil throw in his last outing in the first inning? So let me go to my notes to see. The quote was, "We are interested in increasing the amount of action in the game, restoring the prominence of the starting pitcher, and reducing the prevalence of pitching injuries." Well, there's a ton of starting pitchers that are out this year. We've gone through the names, Spencer Strider, Shane Bieber. These guys get shut down. There is no, I know the magic number is 100 pitches when guys get around there, but I really don't think there's any way for Major League Baseball. They've already put in a rule that people are blaming injuries on the pitch clock because guys are in a hurry and guys are throwing the ball faster than ever. I just think they're doing too much. So I understand wanting to, you know, they've done things like the juice ball. Now they've, you know, they've banned the shift, bigger bases. I already mentioned the rule, the guys coming out of bullpen, you got to face three batters minimum. But now we're going to start manipulating the game to try and keep guys on the mound. And, like, this isn't baseball anymore. This is Manfred League baseball. That is what we're going to. And, Manfred, if you're going to do anything, give us the robo-umps first. That's priority. Give us the automatic strike zone robo-umps before you start trying to create any other rules against starting pitchers and bullpen games and trying to manufacture some type of what you think is an amount of action. I saw that article. I put a little bit in my notes. I'm like, but this is stupid. We'll see how it plays out. But robo-umps are supposed to be coming to spring training as soon as next season. I saw spring training lineups and schedules are out. But I just think that baseball as we knew it is gone, and they're trying too hard to do things to compete with other sports. If you love baseball, you love baseball. I was talking to Ryan Hickey in the break room before this. I'm like, a day like today, if you're not a baseball fan, you don't understand how hilarious it is that Hawk Tua threw out one pitch in baseball, one first pitch, one team out of all the teams in baseball, only one team decided to have her show up. And they had her show up during a day game where they had a bunch of campers in highlighter color shirts pull up to the stadium. And then after she threw out that first pitch, it was such a typical collapse. It is hilarious. And like, if you don't understand that, like, you're not a baseball fan, you don't get it. You don't get to laugh. You don't get the joke. Let's go to Janice in Connecticut on the fan. Hello, Janice.
Hi.
Hi.
My heart. Hi, honey. Hi. My
hey.
Heart.
Hey.
I am listening to you. Hi. I am listening to you. Look, I've never called a radio station in my life. I'm on my way home. I don't know a lot of stats. Look, I'm not the biggest baseball fan ever. I'm kind of a poser, Yankee fan, whatever.
It's fine.
I like college. Right. So there's that. But, and I like college football. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. That's unfortunate.
What college football team you root for?
I do Michigan State.
Okay, Spartans.
Okay, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. And look, that's not what this is about. This thing, and you're like, if you're not a baseball fan, on that note, I just heard you. On that note, you like, I wouldn't understand.
Oh, Janice, I really wanted to find out where you were going with that. Maybe call us back. You slipped up. But if I could assume where you were going to a place where you don't really know what went on today at Citi Field. You don't really know who this girl is. You don't really know all this. So you're on the outside looking in, and that's why we're talking about it. Not for the entire show, but at least for this first hour and taking calls on it and laughing about it. Because you got to laugh at it. It's all fun and entertainment, and it is a joke. The jokes write themselves. And for what happened after that first pitch, win or lose. I was talking to people online. I'm like, if they win, they're the Hawk to a Mets. She replaces Grimace. If they lose, they're going to blame this girl. They're going to blame the Mets for more gimmicks, for bringing this girl out, for putting her on the mound when no one asked for this. But you know what? Even as we were talking to Ryan about the Newark Bears, I had a thought about, like, the first pitch was supposed to be an honor, right? The first pitch was supposed to be, wow, I have the honor of throwing out the first pitch, even for something like the Newark Bears. And now we've gotten to the point where, man, the internet has crossed into real life so much it's scary. Like, I just said, the internet is fake. It's fake life, right? The same people that build up Hawk Tua, like, they don't really care about her in the real world. Her 15 minutes of fame we thought was up. But wow, like, that stupid video can go viral. We don't know much about you besides that 10, 15 seconds. And it lasts through the whole summer where you get to come to New York City and throw out a pitch to start a Mets game. A very important Mets game that Mets fans and baseball fans are watching. And we're like, you know, we didn't need this. Nobody asked for this. And look what transpired. The end. 888-808-1019. Stu in Point Pleasant on the fan in New York.
Yo, Keith, my dude, how are you, sir? Hey, listen, man, I wanted to just go to the Yankees a little bit for a second. You know, I was going to give you a Sterling. It is high, but I'm not going to go there. But anyway, love Johnny. I always give him a shout-out with you, man. So, I was in 203 in the bleachers. Oh, what a great time, Keith. I took my girlfriend.
Saturday? When were you there?
And the kids. Sunday.
Awesome.
When they started coming back.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to start, let's get going, you know, looking at that stadium. You know, I got to hit the parkway. And the turnpike to the parkway, but that game, man, was a nail biter. One of the guys in the outfield, and it was my first, you know, it was my first thing. And she was like, and it's funny as a fan, Keith. You know, you're sitting there trying to explain to people what the, you know, that section's all about.
Mm-hmm.
When we were playing Carl. I mean, what a good time. One of the guys got the Volpe gold. You know, the gold. The Volpe
Sean,
gold,
my boy. I saw my boy Sean had that. It might have been Sean.
Yeah, yeah, he was sitting. Yeah, He was sitting maybe one or two bleachers in front of me. What a good sign, man. So I wanted to give those guys a shout out for, like, you know, the hospitality. Explain it to my girl. You know, I was explaining it, but
I was being a dad that day. I wanted to be there. I had to do a play date. I had to do one of my first, like, play dates, bring my son and my wife to be with other babies. And I'm listening to Craig Carton on the call, and I missed that doubleheader. And I missed that Sunday game. I missed Volpe. I'm a Volpe guy. I'm a bobblehead guy. I missed that bobblehead too.
Right. But listen, man, you know, if you really want one, you can find that name and number. I'll send you one, bro. I got you.
I'm sure somebody in the bleachers, they all get them. That's one thing about the creatures. They know how to collect. Nobody just gets one. They get two, three, four, five. Actually,
they had a bag of like eight.
That's what I'm saying. They have bags with multiple. They, like, you know, if you go to the stadium enough, you know how to, you know, maneuver and finesse. Thanks for the call, Stu. We got a break here. It's already 8 o'clock. 888-808-1019. I open up with Hawk Tua because, like I said, I never spoke on the girl. Never wanted to give her a platform. I had to work to get to this level. Like, I had to do so much in my life to grind and win just to get out of poverty. And this little girl, she's making money off of a viral video, and now she's famous and all this stuff. Yeah, I guess I'm a little jealous. But I can't give her 4 more hours of my show. We just had to open with that. That wasn't my plan to open. Tonight, I was going to talk about Judge and his prowess. I was going to talk about the Jets and how, like, the Jets roster and these guys, like, I actually think everything happens for a reason. The universe never unconnects. And the Jets are better for what happened last year. They have a better roster around Aaron Rodgers. They learned a lot from that. And now they got to ante up. It's do or die. And I think that pressure, I think they'll rise to the occasion. And we're seeing a lot of good things from a lot of different players out of Jets camp. Zach Rosenblatt will join me at 9:15 to talk Jets. In this next hour, we will lean more into the Yankee conversation with the Tigers coming up, Garrett Cole on the mound, Carlos Rodon, the, you know, Little League game. I actually went 2 years to the Little League baseball camp in Williamsport. I'm familiar with the area. I've been out there. It's great if you love baseball. There's a museum, and if you like the Little League World Series, it's an awesome experience. They didn't have the major league players going out there when I was young. I wish they did. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything with the pitching. We'll talk about Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone was on foul territory. Shout out to my guy, Scott Braun, who hosts that podcast. And yeah, we'll lean more into the Yankees conversation, but I'll still take your calls on the Mets. It just won't be so much about Hawk Tua, Haley Welch. We can talk about, like I said, who's going to pitch for the Mets down the stretch here? Paul Blackburn? Like, who is going to hit for these guys? They're changing the lineup. They're tweaking some things. The lineup has to get back to putting up crooked numbers in the R column and the H column. Or they're not going to be able to compete against these other teams like the Orioles, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, who are coming up on their schedule. And we could be in September and they could be that far out of it where it could be over by the time football starts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.